Well, good morning, everyone. Good to see you all out here. This is the first time I'm speaking here to encourage men, but like you mentioned, I have been the speaker to encourage young men, so I have a little bit of experience here. Good to see you all here. It's hard to wake up sometimes on those mornings, but we all made it. And for those that are calling in, welcome as well. I'm going to start out with a few quotes just to start out our morning. People who say they sleep like a baby usually don't have one. You have to have children to understand that. So, with introductions, sometimes you get kind of stuck in your introduction. So there's this man one time who was preaching in a jail, and he began by saying, "I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad to see all of you here." Without realizing what he had said, he continued, "I know it took a lot of effort for you to be here." Still oblivious, he continued, "You have no idea how much better the world would be because you are here." He was probably used to speaking in church and didn't think about it where he's talking. Husbands are meant to be talked to. It helps them concentrate on what they're reading. You got to be married to understand that one too. The Lord gave us two ends, one to sit on, the other to think on. Success depends on which one we use the most. And courage is not the absence of fear, but the willingness to push on in the face of it. And it's going to take some courage, men, to work through this course, because there's going to be quite a few wounds that we go through. Some of you are probably going to be touched by them a little more than others. There's some that's going to mean more to you than it would to somebody else. This morning, we're going to be going over the two courses, Looking Back and Unpacking. We're going to start out with a little bit of review first. Jason Reed went over last week the four faces of manhood. And the first face was the face of a king, which exemplifies righteous energy. Now, there can be a left or a right side to each one of these faces. The left, if someone is veering to the left, you could think the left ditch of the road, they would be a tyrant. So they would be a little bit strong on the king face. So an extreme ruler in the home, not taking care for the feelings of others as quickly. Or they can be an abdicator on the right side of the ditch, where you stand back and you don't stand up for what's right, and you just let everything go as it goes. The face of a warrior, conquering energy. If you veer to the left, you're a destroyer, where you just destroy anything that's in your way, and again, no thought to feelings. Or a passive, stepping back and just letting the world roll on. A lover, romantic energy. On the left side, you can end up being critical. You're critical of what everyone does. You take extra interest in their lives, where you try to control. Or cold on the right side, where you don't have a love for the people in your lives. And then a friend, connecting energy. On the left end, you can be a user, where you want to be a friend to someone just because of what they have or what they could do for you. Or on the right end, you can be a loner. I think Jason had got us to raise our hands last time if we're a loner. We're going to be talking about the heart wound later on. That's a person that doesn't have many friends, or you have no one to talk to about your struggles in life. And we as men, that's pretty common. We'll talk about the weather or our jobs or, you know, but it's a little tougher to talk about the more personal things in our lives. Maybe some additional questions for small group, for you small group leaders. Which one of these would define your dad? And which one rises to the top? We're going to be talking about father wound later on in one of the later courses, connections with fathers and mothers, and that's one thing to consider. I'm going to be telling you my story in a couple of minutes. But first of all, we're also going to go over the manhood plan. Your small group leader will probably help you through this as well, but we're going to go over the basics of it. Back on page 92 in the back of your book, there is a sheet called the Manhood Plan. And this is basically a plan where you're going to create a goal for your life. It's going to help you walk through producing a plan of action, of steps to accomplish your goals. And to graduate, we're going to be producing a manhood plan. So you're going to be writing out kind of a plan based on the questions that are in that manhood plan worksheet. By session 5, we'd encourage you to have most of the questions answered in the first part to get the process started. By session 8, we'll be looking at who I am. That'll be part 2, a look at now. And then by session 12, where do I go from here? That's part three, a look ahead. So that's just kind of a little bit of a guide to keep us all on the same page as we work through our manhood plan. And the target will be graduation. The next few weeks are going to be a little bit intense as we spend time looking back and unpacking our past, but I encourage you to stick with it. A lot of you are going to be in small groups. Make sure you encourage those that are around you to keep pressing on. It can get a little painful. We're going to look back so that we can look ahead, so that we can make a difference and be all who we were designed to be, and not to be who we were, but become all that we are designed to be. So again, a big welcome to Encourage Men. Up close and personal, I'm going to be kind of working through each of these letters and numbers in your book. There's going to be some fill-in blanks. I'll try to go slow enough that you can take time to fill them in if you have a pen. But starting out, everyone has a story. And these are some quotes that I stole from Jason Rees when he did this topic back in 2010, but I thought they really meant a lot to me. We are a composite of our parents, our environment, and people from our past. However, we can be a product of our past, or we can be a product of the regenerative power of Jesus Christ. It depends who we allow to control our lives. Are we going to let Christ, or are we going to allow our past? Either we will learn to deal responsibly with our past, or our past will deal viciously with us. Now, that's a pretty strong statement as well. We can cover it over, we can scab it over, and just pretend it's not there, but if there is things in our past that we're carrying along with us, like luggage, like baggage, it's going to continue to surface. While we are products of our past, we are not prisoners of it. There is change, there is hope, if we are willing. So looking back, up close and personal, my story, that's one of my grandparents, Elam and Joanne Root. Joanne is no longer with us. She passed away here a couple months ago. It was a little bit tough for some of her family, being the first grandmother to leave us. We still have our other three. Grandpa was born in 1937, Grandma in 1942. So looking back in history, I looked over a historical timeline. You can kind of get an aspect of what your grandparents would have went through when they were growing up. This would have been, they would have grew up in the World War II and Vietnam and era, some of those wars. You can look over some of the economic aspects of that time. And it was coming out of the war. They had a lot of change. There was a lot of men that were coming home from the war that were emotionally damaged and did not share their emotions. And it seemed like that kind of carried through society, which we're going to talk about later on. I love my grandparents. There's not a whole lot of bad I can say about them. I know if you listen to Jason's talk, he went over a lot of his story, his family story. I'm not going to share a whole lot on that. I don't have a whole lot of details myself, but it can be good if you are trying to uncover your story, figure out where you're at, why I do the things I do, to maybe look back and ask people questions, parents, uncles, aunts. You can ask them questions about their growing up life and try to get an understanding of why do I do the things I do. Often the things I do, I inherited from my parents or my grandparents, the way I do things. So it can be a good way to understand why I am the way I am if you go back and look. How did my ancestors live their lives? There we go. This is my other set of grandparents. This is Clarence and Mabel Wenger. And they were both born in 1939, about 2 days apart. They were almost twins. And they're actually holding a set of twins there, which is our boys. They're about not quite a year old there. And again, I really appreciate these grandparents. They have definitely given me a lot of encouragement as I work through some difficult things already in my life. There's my parents. And my mom was born in 1971, my dad in 1967. I'm very encouraged this morning. My dad actually showed up this morning to encourage me. So if you get a chance to talk with him, he is here this morning. And I'm going to be talking about our lives together a little later on. There's a family picture. The circled person on the top left is me. January 2006, when this was taken. I grew up in a family of six siblings, or six of us total, three boys and three girls. And if there was ever a name getting yelled, there was someone in trouble, it was usually me. I was the troublemaker around home. I like to pick on people. And our relationship today is with my siblings is very good, but there was a time where I would say it was a little more strained. I always struggled kind of to know where I fit in with the siblings and the way the family life goes. It was always a bit of a struggle for me to come out with my emotions and actually talk about things, which I'm told that's pretty common with men. So growing up, I had a lot of feelings that I didn't know how to put words to. And as I got older and learned about some of these things that young men may struggle with, I started putting words to my feelings, and I'm going to share a little bit more on that later on. There's another more current picture, December 2020, of our family and extended family. So my wife and I and our family are in the middle, and everyone out around us. Moments that shape my life. There's a list of things under here that are numbered, good moments, noble moments. That'll be a place for you to write in some things about your life as you think about where you've been, where you're going. I'm going to share some of mine, and I hope that maybe some of these can help you recall some of your good moments. My family always enjoyed to do things together, like camping. We would often go to a campground and just, you know, have time as a family. Dad didn't enjoy sleeping in tents. He would have much rather slept in his comfortable bed at home. But he did it for Mom, because Mom she loves to do things as a family. Camping was definitely her thing. But again, tenting, not so much for Dad. Before we would leave on a long trip, Dad was one to say a prayer before we left for our safety, and that was something that always meant a big deal to me. A couple things written down here. Fishing was another thing. My grandfather loved to fish. He still loves to fish today. It seems like that skipped a generation. Dad doesn't enjoy that as much, but we children did, and he made a point of it to make sure we got out to the first day of fishing every year. Playing out in the snow, he would build snow creations for us. And one time he made this big cow. You probably remember that big cow you made that we sat on and played with. And that's something that kind of passed down to me. I enjoy playing in the snow with my boys, too. Some other things. There's another picture of my parents at a lake. And there I'm actually plunking away on a keyboard. When I was young, I really wanted to play guitar, and told my mom that she should get me guitar lessons or something. And well, we had this little keyboard at home, and she said, well, why don't you just get piano lessons? You could start out with that once. That's for girls. I didn't want to do that. And well, she decided to go ahead and do it anyway, and had a piano teacher come, and I actually had 4 years of lessons then. And I can say that's one of the best things that my parents actually did for me, was to do that, because today I would say I'm more musically inclined. I enjoy singing. Learning those chords kind of helped me to put the pieces together in my mind how to sing. And so that was something I really appreciated. My dad liked to play games, and so did us all. He taught me how to play chess, and he was beating me for a while till I figured out how to do it, and then I was beating him. noble moments. Singing as a family. We would sing as a family. Often, maybe once or twice a week there for a while. We haven't done that for a while now. We should get together and do that again. You all get married and move away, and things just don't happen as much anymore. But that was something that meant a lot to me. Bedtime stories. Dad would read us the bedtime story before bed, and those Bible stories meant a lot to me. Learning how to pray. Dad would say a prayer. We would say it all together as a Lord's Prayer, and then he would say a prayer line by line, we would repeat after him, and that's how I learned how to pray. That's meant a lot to me as well, and especially as now I'm a father and trying to teach my children how to pray. We do something similar in our home. Church was always important. If someone was sick, often one parent would stay home with the sick child, and the other one would take the rest of church, is often how it happened. and church was important. One sermon that I remember growing up, I remember dealing with a lot of sexual issues, and I know the one minister one time had a sermon on keeping our vessel, and I was struggling with masturbation at the time, and that meant a lot to me. So with church being so important, I was taught to sit still and listen and take it in, and I benefited from that. Missed moments. My family loves hobbies. We all love to tinker away at different things. We all have different interests. Dad loves to record small groups. Maybe I'll get you a little bit of business in his basement. And he loves programming, computers, and puts computers together. He's an electrician. And growing up, I always looked up to my dad as someone who knew it all. You know, he was wiser and smarter than any other man out there that I knew. And I really enjoyed helping him with his hobbies, putting computers together and stuff like that. The one thing I struggled with was connection. I always struggled with connection with Dad. And I didn't know how to put words to it, like I mentioned before, but as I grew older, I realized that I felt as if I had a missed moment here where Dad was spending time with his hobbies, where I wished he would have spent time with me. And, you know, you've always had some of those feelings too, I'm sure, growing up. So that's nothing new. But that was something that I struggled with. I didn't know who to go to. If I had struggles, emotional, spiritual struggles, I didn't know who to go to. I didn't have anybody to trust. And I often quicker would go to my mom, actually, if I had a spiritual question. I remember mom sitting us down one time and telling us all how sin works and how we can have our slate wiped clean if we through the blood of Christ. I remember a lot of details of like that. I struggled to remember a lot of things in my past, but as I look through pictures, it's easier for me to recall things. That's something I would encourage you to do too if you're looking back in your past. If you have some family albums at home, if you're living away from home or however, ask to borrow those albums and just look through them again, see some of your growing up pictures. You might be able to recall some of the struggles you had and be able to work through them. I always struggled with, I wished that my parents would have given me more affirmation. I'm an affirmative guy, and so if someone says something, you know, nice about me, it really means a big deal. If someone says something the other way around, it means a big deal too. So I always struggled with being able to get my affirmation and being called out on my efforts to try so hard to do good or to do what's right. I often wish that I would have someone to call out those moments in me and call me forward to keep pressing on. There we go, that's on page 16. Defining moments. I'm going to go over some of those things later on. Okay, actually, before I get to that point, so I shared a couple of things with my relationship with my parents growing up. It was a bit of a struggle for me to relate or to connect on a deeper level. And as I was going over this course, preparing for this, about a month or two ago, I was getting ready for this already, and I thought, you know what, if I'm going to be encouraging the guys to work out these things, I need to do it myself. And there's a recording I'm going to talk about later on called Paradoxical Parents. There's some CDs out there I'm going to be getting you to take, where he encouraged us to go back and try to heal the relationships that you struggled with. You know, maybe it wasn't anything that anybody intended to go wrong, but there can be things that, hurtful moments that, you know, no one intended, but it still needs to be taken care of. And so I actually wrote a letter to my dad one Sunday. I sat down and I just typed out a two-sided letter, and I sent it to him, and I'm actually going to share that with you this morning. Dad, a short recollection of what you mean to me. Dad, you mean the world to me. Before I was born, God knew I needed a follower like you, and he purposefully placed me into your family to receive the blessing of calling you Dad. I often overlooked your qualities in place of dwelling on your inconsistencies, but now that I'm grown and have boys of my own, I stop and think of how much you sacrificed to make me into the man I am today. I also realize my own inconsistencies glaring out of my life, often those very things that I notice in you, of which I vowed never to show in my own family's lives. I'm humbled and amazed at how disciplined we must be to achieve the values we most long for in our leadership. Some of my earliest memories of you were when we put the train tracks together and we watched the electric trains make their circles on the kitchen table. I could see how much you enjoyed the hobby with how you worked so tediously on the controls to get everything to work just right. You also took us fishing on the first day of fishing season almost every year, a trade that I believe you took from your father, who still loves to fish to this day. It wasn't that you loved fishing so much, but you loved to see the looks on our faces when we pulled in the big one. Another treasured early memory is playing chess with you. It started out with you winning every time, but as you invested your time into showing me the smart moves, I eventually became a tough one to beat. I valued your godliness and trust in Jesus as you always asked for the Lord's protection on us before we left on a long drive. Prayers at bedtime were so comforting as we all prayed together and repeated a prayer with you. You taught us how to pray and read the Bible stories to us each night. To me, you were the smartest, strongest person in the world, and I looked up to you as someone I wanted to be like someday. The way people praised you for your computer knowledge just made me proud of my dad. You took us camping several times, and although you didn't like sleeping away from home, you did it because you knew it was Mom's favorite thing to do as a family. You loved Mom so dearly and gave her a kiss every morning before heading out the door. You once told me that you really couldn't find any fault in Mom. She gave herself sacrificially to the family and met your needs as a husband. I never heard you or Mom crabbing each other out, and although you would get stressed at times over the bills and constant family needs, you had an undying patience and continued to work hard to keep the bills paid and food on the table. I remember the time we took the lawnmower apart together. It was such a meaningful time that we had, taking each piece out of the transmission and understanding how everything works. We got it together again successfully, and it ran better than before. You stepped out of your comfort zone once to tell me the facts of life. I value your courage in trying the best you knew how with what you were given to raise me into the man I am today. After I moved into my own family life and began to ask if I could share current struggles with you, like the time my wife and I wanted to confess our failures to our church, you would spend time with God in Bible reading and prayer before the appointed phone call to prepare your mind for the advice we needed to hear. And as a grandfather today, I see you pick up your grandchildren with the light in your eye that any son or daughter loves to see and say, "As you belong and I treasure you." Because of these values that you invested in me and many more I didn't list, I'm able to look to my Father in heaven who gave me to you as a God who loves me and cares about me and who will do anything for me to see that I'm nurtured and cared for. He shows me in his word that as I have accepted his salvation and forgiveness, that I am his child and joint heirs with Christ of the riches of his glory. And unlike earthly fathers who being human fail at times, he will never fail us and continues to speak value and worth into our lives. As I look back into my past and see where he's already led me, I look forward with anticipation to the next step in life. Because just like you were beside me as I made the big steps in life, he has promised to go with me no matter what is around each corner. As much as I want to keep on listening to good times we had together, I also want to point out the few times that were more of a struggle to me and some of the thought patterns I harbored in silence during my growing up years. Before I list any of these things that felt negative to me, I want to state that I am not pointing blame or condemnation to you in any of my struggles in life. As a young father myself, I have come to realize that I am way more imperfect than I ever have come to realize before receiving the blessing of a family. And in many ways, I have carried these same negatives into my own son's lives. So please hear me out in the hopes that we can be restored on some of these things that drove us apart, as I also learn how to overcome them in my family's lives. Dad, I don't know what your whole early life was like. I caught a glimpse of it in the few times you would mention specific memories about your family life. I know it was your mom who brought you to the Lord after a struggle with the flesh and realizing your fallen nature. In your room that night, she showed you how to give your heart to the Lord. And you treasured him above all else when you saw how you could cast all your care on him. I just wonder at times if your dad was absent in your spiritual life, and if he ever asked you how life was going for you or took an interest in your passion for God. Could this have been why you struggled to jump the hurdles between us, and why it was also my mother who I went to for spiritual direction? In my early years, I loved your interest in computers and recording hobbies, but as I grew, I began to resent the time spent in those hobbies as it felt like time stolen from me. I longed for time to just sit and talk and for you to notice and acknowledge my feeble efforts to be somebody and have an edge on life. When I received affirmation from you, it was like a shot of fireworks, and I endeavored to do even better at those things you were proud of me for. I constantly tried to perfect my talents just to receive the heartwarming affirmation of good job or you're really going to be somebody someday. I'm crying as I write this letter because when I talk with the walls between us, something just gets tangled up inside, and I don't understand what it was that I really was missing from you. But what I really wanted the most from life with you
was to hear you say, I love you. And I really think you're going to be somebody someday. I wanted your encouragement when I made mistakes, like, don't let this mistake define who you are, but keep pressing toward who you want to be. I wanted significance, like you telling me you're proud of me and that I don't need to overdo myself to gain your acceptance. But as I write this list, I'm realizing that this is exactly what my family is needing from me, and it's going to take some tremendous effort on my part to make sure my sons get what they need from me. Love, belonging, and significance. And I also realize that no matter how hard I try, like you, I will make mistakes, and I will need to go back and apologize to them for messing up. And just like when I was your little son, it's easy to forgive when you see Dad is trying his best, and he's not afraid to make things right and restore the relationship. Two evenings ago, I had to punish my one son, and through it, he got very angry and told me he hates me. After taking care of the issue, I took him out into the darkness, and we sat and looked at the stars while we just talked. After mentioning that it was his bedtime, he told me, no, Dad, there's still more things I want to talk about. So, Dad, even though there's hurts from the past, I dwell in the joy of knowing you're still here with me. And unlike your wonderful mother who passed on to her reward recently, there's still many things we can talk about. I want to bless you for who you've shaped me to be and look forward to growing our relationship together, laughing at the good times, crying at the sad, and looking in awe at the beautiful relationship we continue to share. I forgive you, Dad, for any hurts I have felt from you in the past, and offer my apologies for things you felt hurt from me. I wish to sit down with just you sometime and talk about life and where we see God leading us in our walk with him. Can't wait to hear from you, Dad. I love you, and I'm proud of you. Your loving son, Curtis. It's always tough for me to read that letter off because it just hits a button inside. But some of you know what I'm talking about. And about an hour after I shared that letter, then my dad actually sent one back to me. And he said, oh, Curtis, I'm crying while reading this. Looking back, I don't quite understand why I did not take more time to communicate. Deep down, I want what is best for my children, but I failed in so many ways. I guess you might be right. My dad never demonstrated this to me either. And it probably goes on to the next generation and so on. So, Curtis, I'm so happy you're reaching out like this because it is because of this I think you'll break the bad cycle. I have to marvel at the grace of God in your life, how you move ahead in spiritual matters, and how you help in heading up the men's encouragement meetings. Keep it up. I'm so proud of you. I'm going to tell you again, I'm so proud of you and truly feel fortunate to have you as my son. And I want to tell you from the bottom of my heart, I love you, and I'm sorry I failed you to encourage you as I should have. So as you can see, when we take responsibility for our past and we reach out, often God will answer our prayers, and he will allow us to have that victory as we try to restore those relationships. Some of you probably have no idea what I'm talking about. You had a good, you know, everything was peachy growing up. You have a great relationship with your dad, and that's great. Maybe you're here to encourage somebody else. And also, like I said in my letter, I'm not pointing blame at anyone in my family, but we need to be responsible with our past. If there's wounds, if there's hurts, if we refuse to take care of them, they're just going to continue manifesting themselves in our lives. There'd be times in my life where, you know, I really struggled to just think, wow, I wish I would have more connection with Dad. But I never did anything about it. And it wasn't until I actually did something about it that I started to get the blessing of a wonderful relationship with Dad. So that's my encouragement to you. That might actually apply more to the next session of unpacking. But we have a couple more things to go over before we get into that one. So this is me and my wife, before we were married, this is an engagement picture. Both of us admitted to each other that we struggled to connect with our parents, and we tried to get that connection from each other. And some of you were at Encourage Young Men, or even here, or we talked about the Valiant Man program a couple years ago. And in there, they share that when we don't do things, when we don't focus on the spiritual and emotional aspects of our dating life, we really struggle to hit on those things when we're married. And that was definitely our story. I shared in my letter there about our work with our church to make things right. And I can say today, now I can talk about some of these things that I struggled with because I've worked through them and have tried to take care of them. This is another picture of my family, my wife and I, and our two twin boys. They would have been not quite two at this time. And then another picture of when our youngest one came along, so we have three boys, and so I definitely have a big, long road ahead of me to train those boys the way that I would want to be trained and give those things the positives that my dad gave me. My story is not unique. As a man, I'm not alone. Some of you were talking about feeling alone, or Jason was talking about feeling alone, and some of you had raised your hands, and we're going to be going over the heart wound later on and the all-alone wound. If that's something you struggle with, I would encourage you to try to be here for that one. When a boy fails to connect with his dad, demons of one kind or another often fill the void. And those demons can manifest themselves in pornography, in drinking, smoking, whatever it is, anger, things that you try to fill your void with. And there's also a void that God created inside of us to be filled with himself. But we get our understanding of who God is to us through our Father, through a relationship with our Father. And so if you had a struggle growing up with your father, you probably have a struggle understanding God. And some of those demons may have filled your life. Many men have yet to reckon with their past or close out the unfinished business that dwells there. There may be unfinished things that you would rather just let there and not dig up. You don't want to dig up dirt. But there's three things. When we're going back and looking back, we don't want to blame. Oftentimes when someone looks back, they're tempted to blame. Well, it's because of my dad, or it's because of this or that in my life, the friends I had. If we're not going to take responsibility for our actions, we're never going to get anywhere. And the second thing is ignoring. Some people just ignore their past. They'd pretend it wasn't there. If I can just pretend it's not there, it probably didn't happen, right? And it will manifest itself in other things. And then the third one is excusing. If we excuse, we might think, well, I don't want to call out so and so for what he did or for how our relationship was. So I'm just going to let that go. I'm going to forgive and move on. And that's good, that's right, but sometimes you actually need to make those connections before you can honestly tell yourself, before you can honestly believe that forgiveness is for me. Otherwise, you'll tend to excuse those things, and then they'll just continue to pop up in your life. Until a man unpacks his past and deals with the themes and pain that reside there, he can never be an authentic man. We have to be willing to unpack. There's themes, there's pain, there's recurring themes where some of the themes that you had growing up often come out in your own life in the way that you respond to things around you, to people around you, maybe your family. You cannot become a real man without help. There is no such thing as a self-made man. You're going to need somebody to walk alongside you. If you try to do it in silence, maybe you'll get somewhere, but it's going to be a real struggle. If you have someone coming alongside you and encouraging you, that's your small group. If you're part of a small group, that's what they're there for, to encourage you to be the man that you really want to be, to call you up to true godliness. There are two kinds of men. There's ones that if you get a wound on your hand and they're like, oh, I don't want to look at it. Oh, it's bleeding. Oh, get me away from this. Someone else take care of it. And then there's the kind that, give me a needle and thread and I'll stitch it up myself. You might be on one or the other end of that scale, but I encourage you all to take a look at some of these wounds as we go through them. See how they apply to your life. You might be surprised how much they actually manifest in your life. For better or worse, we are all significantly shaped by the kind of family life we experienced. For good or for worse, we are shaped by our family life. And we as dads need to realize that as well with our families, that as our children are growing up in our homes, the things we do, the things we say, mean more than we may think they do in the moment. And we need to make sure that we are giving them the things they need. Uh, another thing with looking back, often hurt people hurt people. If you caught that, hurt people hurt people. And I just want to say that we need to be responsible with our past, or it's going to come out and manifest itself in other ways. So unpacking is kind of taking the thought of a suitcase. We're all carrying this luggage in our life. And whether we admit it or not, we all carry something. And I actually brought a briefcase this morning to represent a suitcase. But all of us need to take that suitcase open and take a look at it. You know, some of us might just have a couple things to pull out and look at and examine. This was in my past. This is where I was. This is how I dealt with it. There's different things that we have to go over, go back and make things right. For some of us, that might be pretty easy. There might not be many things to take out of the suitcase. For others, it'll be like an onion, where you got to take a layer off, and then there's another layer underneath, and you cry. You take the next layer off, and there's another layer, and you cry. And it's going to be tough for some of you. And I just encourage, for you that are in small group, when you see somebody really struggling, just be that encouragement for them. Come alongside and pray. Maybe reach out during the week, as they may be having some very strong struggles. Just keep close together as a group, because we all need each other. Why do men struggle today? Some of it has to do with society. The Industrial Revolution came along and took a lot of men out of the homes, off the farms, and put them into factories. There was a lot of women that worked in factories as well, but a lot of dads were no longer at home. This created where the son could normally go to his father. He'd be working alongside milking the cows. Dad was no longer there. He came home in the evening. He's tired. He kicks up his feet. He don't have time to spend a lot of time with the family, and he just feels like he needs to relax. Some of it has to do with, I missed a couple of things. Well, you can write that one down too. Some of it has to do with society. The feminized society came along as well. So dad's out of the home, and mom is teaching the boys and the girls in the home, and the boys are getting their aspect of life from mom. And now that can be good, but boys need to see real manhood lived out. And if dad wasn't there to show that, it's tough for them to know where to go for that. What does it mean to be an authentic man? You can't get that from mom. War brings home emotionally damaged boys who no longer want to talk about their emotions. They saw things that they aren't going to talk about. And that has changed society in massive ways, that people no longer talk about their emotions. It's all surface issues. The women's movement came along, and women wanted to be on equal par with men. Not that women are not equal with God, but they do have their different roles. And the media portrays men to be as buffoons. They don't know what they're doing. Women are the ultimate race, the way society looks at it. They bear the children, and they carry a lot of the workload, and the dad sits around and doesn't do much. Oftentimes, there's homes, too, where mom goes away and works, and dad stays home. There's flipped family roles. And this, as well, has been a struggle for men to get their understanding of what it means to be a godly man and raising a home. Some of it has to do with family dynamics. Missing dads, abusive dads, messed up parental relationships. One out of three females and one out of five males are sexually abused before the age of 18. Favoritism. When parents favor one child over another, there's often sibling rivalry and anger. Flipped roles in parents. Some of it has to do with dad. And we're going to be talking about that here in 2 weeks when we go over the father wound. Men not being taught by dads how to be real godly men in a real godly sexual man in a perverted world. We need spiritual fathers to point us to the truth, or to show us where to go. Often we get wrapped up in these things and we don't know where to go. We need spiritual fathers to show us the way. Even daughters get their sense of what it means to be a woman by how their dads treat them and how their dads treat their mothers. Dads make a big deal in a family's life. I had talked about this a little earlier on about the recordings. I do have CDs back at the table. This is called Paradoxical Parents by Dr. Alan Meyer. Some of you were here the previous 2 years with the Valiant Man course. This would be that author. This is a 45-minute sermon that he gives, and it was very helpful for me in studying for this topic. He gives a lot of information. I'm going to go over a couple points here later on. There's 30 back there available by donation, or if you don't have a donation along, just take one. I'd really love for you to have it. If they get all, or if you'd rather have an electronic version, you can email encourageyoungmen@gmail.com or talk to me, and I can get it to you as well. I can send you an MP3. A couple of notes from the CD. Our parents were not perfect. If you do not learn to handle the imperfection of your own parents appropriately, it'll be you that pays the price, not them. We are marked for good or bad from our upbringing, which is our family of origin. I had a couple other ones. Honor your father and your mother. Let the good stuff in your life be as good as it really was, and let the bad stuff be as bad as it was. Talking about being honest with things that happen. Learning the skills of gratitude and forgiveness. So I'd encourage you, if you get a chance, to pick up one of those CDs. I made 30 of them. It's an easy recording you listen to on your way to work or something. So three critical issues. Addressing the unfinished business of our past is one. It's very critical that we address these things. I talked about that earlier, too, how if we don't address them, they're just going to continue following along. We're just going to continue packing this baggage. Our suitcases need to be unpacked. What do we mean by wound? We've been talking about wounds here a little bit, and we're going to get into some of them later on. A wound is any unresolved issue where lack of closure adversely impacts and shapes the direction and dynamics of a man's life now. So a wound isn't, we're not talking about a physical wound, we're talking about an emotional wound. A scarring, maybe, that we had in previous life that we never took care of properly. If you don't take care of a wound, it'll fester and kind of carry on. You kind of put a bandage over it and hope it gets better, but if you didn't actually take care of it properly, it can take a while for that wound to heal. And if we have these wounds in our lives, if there's unresolved issues, it's going to shape where we go. You look at people's lives today that are in a wreck, that are in ruin, and just do a little digging with where they came from. You know, we can't blame everything on themselves. Oftentimes, the decisions that they make are their own responsibility. But if you look where they came from, where did they grow up? What kind of life did they have growing up? And you can see that it shaped the direction where they're going if they were not responsible with those things. Then said Jesus to those Jews that believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's in John 8, and this is just an encouragement to keep in the word. As you work through things, you know, you're going to have men beside you, but keep in the word. God will reveal things to you if you keep studying his word. That's his word to us. There's five wounds that we're going to be going over. One of them is the absent father wound. I'm not going to go over a whole lot of details. We're almost out of time. And we're also going to be talking about each one of these individually later on. But the absent father wound. Fathers that maybe you struggled to connect with, like in my case. Or maybe it's deeper issues where you actually had abuse or other struggles in your family life. You know, some of you might have listen to my story and thought, wow, that was pretty light compared to my life. But yeah, that can be a big deal to everybody. The overly bonded with mother wound. Some of you might think, that's not going to apply to me. Mom, bonding with mom? You'd be surprised. You come back to that one, and I think more of you are going to realize the effects of being the overbonded with mother wound than you realize. The all alone wound. Being all alone, having no one to talk to, just living my life. My pain is my pain, and I don't share. The lacking of manhood vision wound. We don't have a vision. We have nothing to work toward. It's just day in, day out, same old, same old. I try to spice up my life with fun, but there's still these things that I'm carrying along, and I don't really have a vision. I don't have something I'm working toward. What do I, like when we were young, who do you want to be when you grow up? Our parents would ask us, who do you want to be at the end of life? What's your vision? And then the heart wound. The first four wounds are kind of wounds of nurture, growing up life. The last one is wound of nature, the heart wound, the sin nature in all of us. So that is the five wounds. Establishing a clear and compelling manhood vision is another critical issue. And creating a high-impact, workable plan for my life. That is going to be your manhood plan. And I would encourage all of you to take your time to go through that as these next 3 weeks come along. You can go over questions in your small group together and try to gain ideas. Work on it together as a group. And I think we're really going to go places this year. I'm really encouraged. With preparing for this, I went over the recordings from 2009-2010 when you had done it before, encouragement had done it before, and I'm starting to understand a lot of these wounds, and I'm realizing that a lot of them are a lot bigger of a deal than they looked at face value to me. So I think I'm going to have a lot of working to do as well. My work's cut out for me. So thank you all for being here. It is 6:30, so it is time for small group. So blessings on that.